nights ago, I had the opportunity to be out fishing in a boat, showing Pastor Kevin. I mean fishing with Pastor Kevin. And we were talking, and I mentioned, I love the topic of money. I don't have any problem with it, because it's about the goodness of God. And Brother Lloyd this morning just preached my entire sermon. So, in conclusion, I want to talk to you for a few moments. How about if I just say, what's in your wallet? You ever heard that? Maybe I could say whose money is in your wallet. Well, we can go ahead and establish that. 100% belongs to God. He gives us instructions on 10%, and he still owns and blesses the other 90. Like I said, I don't find it hard to talk on money. Number one, I don't know your lives, and I don't know who tithes, who don't. And number two, it ain't none of my business. Amen? That's between you and God. But the reason I love to talk about money, I love to talk about the fatherhood rights that we unleash with our father and the benefits. And money is not evil, but it is a spiritual tool to enhance and help our spiritual growth and our discipline. Jesus talked about money twice as much as prayer and fasting. And Jesus talked and dealt with money a lot. So this morning I brought a friend with me, and I call him my friend Tom. I carry Tom with me everywhere I go my entire life, and I operate on the advice that Tom gives me. My friend Tom talks about tithe, offering, and mission. Like I say, tithing is not a fundraiser. Tithing is an act of obedience to God. And tithing is between you and God. It's not about who you support, who you don't support. Tithing is 10% of your income and 10% of your increase. And like I say, this morning I want to teach this. I'm not going to preach it. So if you'll just walk along with me. The earliest biblical record and the recording of tithing comes out of Genesis 14 and 20, where it says, "And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered the enemies into your hand, and we have given him a tenth of all. Abraham won the war, he rescued Lot, and he tied to King the priest Melchizedek. Moses, in Numbers 18 and 21, he gave the principle and the law of tithing. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance for the return," watch, "for the work which they perform." We'll talk about more of that in just a moment. "The work of the tabernacle of the meeting." Now, some people say, well, tithing is only Old Testament. No. Matthew 20, we may talk about this a little bit more, but if I don't, I'll throw in a nugget here. Matthew 23 and 23, Jesus talked about tithing, how they practice it in the New Testament. Hebrews 7 is full of New Testament tithing. But anyway, there's a reason for Tom. Tithing, God examines our obedience through tithes. In offerings, God examines our gratitude through offerings. In mission, God examines our heart and our compassion through the mission. Now, as we get into tithes, from Genesis to Revelation, God gives us tithing principles and revelation. In the Garden of Eden, God was a champion provider. In the Garden of Eden, he was there with the three P's. That's not the insurance, price. I'm getting a dry mouth this morning, bear with me. But it's God gave his provisions, he gave his protection, and he gave his presence. They were privileged to have all three of those. We need God as our champion provider. We need God as our champion presence in our life. We need His provisions. We need His protection. A lot of times, maybe sometimes we've heard said, well, I can't take it anymore. All financial hope is gone. Well, I've always asked myself this question. Was it my fault or was it the champion provider? There's been many times I've had to examine myself to see if myself and my own reasoning is the one responsible. I don't know if I should say this or not. We were talking the other day and just kind of reflecting back years ago. If I told you I love to fish, you'd probably say, yeah, we know that about you. But I put in our monthly budget $1,000 to enable my hobby. And you may say, that's crazy. I agree 100%. Sometimes we do crazy things ourselves, but God has a standard in finances. Now, what I'm going to do this morning is just give you the truth. What I'm going to do is just trying to share with you, it's an exciting news about how we can walk in survival mode, even though the economy has fallen apart. Brother Lord was talking about that this morning, and God takes care of His people. But He sets a principle, and He establishes. In Genesis 2 and 15, then the Lord took the man and put him in the garden to tend and keep it. There's our accountability. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So the principle of what belongs to God and what He allows us to be a part of is found all the way back in creation in the Garden of Eden. He put man there and He made him accountable. But at the same time, He put him there in possession of all things. God said, Adam, all things are mine. You can enjoy them except the tree of the knowledge. You can lean on it. You can use the shade. You can just lay around it and just enjoy. But He says it comes with a standard. It's in your possession, but it is not yours. Now, we know that we had a problem that came up shortly after this. And I find it interesting to know that in verse 18, it's not on the overheads. But God said, it's not good that man should be alone. Just going out on the rabbit trail here just for a second. That tells me that God told Adam the instructions, and Adam told Eve, his wife, what God had said. Now, the devil came up against Eve and gave her a word test. The devil says, has God said? Now, what did she say? Eve not only knew the word, but she added to it. She said, not only can we not eat it, but we can't touch it either. Now, God never said you couldn't touch it. He said you couldn't eat it. Maybe Adam just kind of really wanted to hammer in the point about how important it was to obey God. If I may say that, Brother Jason and Sister Lynn and I and Rachel were talking the other day around the table, and we just got to laughing at how the old-time way, there was a lot of stuff added in, but we came to the conclusion it didn't hurt us a bit. We were raised strict. I mean, a lot of things were added, but it didn't hurt us. My mother told me, I was so afraid to go to what they called back then the moving picture show. I think I was a grown adult by the time I ever went to one. Maybe 40, it was before then. But my mother would tell me, son, what if the rapture takes place while you're in there? God ain't going in that worldly place to get you. So I didn't go. But we find that Adam, when he expressed it to Eve, he said, honey, we cannot eat it. Matter of fact, we cannot even touch it. So she told the enemy, she says, thou shalt not touch it or eat it. The day that you do, thou shalt die. But the problem in Genesis 3 and 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. We find two things here. Because of her, it says that she has saw, when the woman saw, she reasoned in her heart. And when the devil told her it'll make you like God, then she began to lust after, it says it was pleasant to the eyes. And so reasoning against revelation, catch this point, when we reason against revelation, it will take you down a wrong path. Amen? Other words, here they're saying, God, I like our portion. I like all the percentage that you said we could partake of, but we like yours too, so therefore we're going to partake of that. And I believe within my heart, I believe it was the hardest day other than the cross at Calvary when he sent his son that God ejected Adam and Eve, his creation, out of the garden. Because it was there that he established principles. He said, I will give you my protection. I will give you my provisions. And it says that he walked in the cool of the day. He says, I will give you my presence. But because of reasoning against revelation, they lost the protection and the provisions and the presence of God Jehovah. Now, we would think that this was the end of it, but you know how things come down through the DNA. It ran through the human DNA because it was contaminated. Pardon me. We find that her sons, Cain and Abel. You know, when a child is born, I'm sure you've heard this before, we don't have to teach them to bite. We don't have to teach them to steal or sneak a cookie out of the cookie jar. We don't have to teach them to throw a fit. They just do it. We had to take on the role of teaching them not to. Some things just come through the DNA. And so now we find ourselves with Cain and Abel doing the same thing with God that mom and dad passed through the bad DNA. They learned to reason against revelation. And a lot of people, okay, I remember, this is a good church. Pastor Kevin, I'll stay in line with you. A lot of people down the road at the other church have learned to reason in their own mind against the revelation of God. Let's take a look at that real quick. I got to go very, very fast. Genesis 4 and verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. He got upset. He had a feud with the Lord. Verse 6, and the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? In other words, what's the problem? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now here, God is revealing the dynamics of revelation versus reasoning. The problem of reasoning, you see, Abel was a rancher, Cain was a farmer, but God required a blood sacrifice, but Cain had a better idea. Anytime the devil speaks to you and begins to massage your mind with the reasoning against the revelation of God's word, a pitfall is right around the corner. Is it all right if I just give you God's word and let you cipher it? Cain knew better. But he began to reason with the Lord, and he had a better idea. He says, this is the best year I've ever had. I've got the biggest cabbage, the biggest pumpkins, the watermelons. Everything is just awesomely, it's just wonderful. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless the Lord with my reasoning and not worry about his revelation. And what God said is, Cain, take your fruits, take your vegetables, and get them off the altar. You got no reason to be angry because I outlined a revelation. I've already given the instructions, and your reasoning is against my commands. And when we may say, and he said, if you'll get them off the altar, do what I said, everything will be just fine. Aren't you so glad we serve an awesome God of mercy? He's always willing to just say, hey, I believe he laughs at us sometimes. Fix it and come back. But we find that he was hard. It seems like he was hard on Cain. And we must say, well, God, why are you so hard on Cain? But in Psalms 119 and 89, it says that, Lord, thy word is forever settled in heaven. What God said in Genesis, God still adheres to in Revelations. What God said at creation, he still adheres to his word, and he will back it up in the year of 2024. God is a sovereign God. And Cain abandoned the revelation that God set forth. And I thought to myself, Cain, why did you do that? And I asked myself, why do sometimes, hey, I'm the first one that's preaching to myself. Why do sometimes we reason against the revelation of God? I'll tell you why. I do not believe that it's an overnight experience. I don't believe that we wake up one morning and we say, God, I've been thinking about this thing. This thing that you have about tithing, I'm just not so sure about that. I really don't like your tithing policy, so I think I'll stop. No, I don't think it's not an overnight decision, because we find in the Word in verse 3, and in the process of time came. In the process of time came. And I don't know if the process, the time is a killer. It can be a great thing and it can be a dreadful thing. But in the process of time, Cain came up with a new idea. And if we're not careful in the process of time, I don't believe anybody wakes up in the morning and says, God, I'm going to quit tithing. I don't agree with your policy. No, it's bills. They stack up. Maybe a bill collectors are calling. Maybe this came up unexpectedly. This came up. And after a while, in the process of time, we become more afraid of our circumstances than we do his revelation. Hello. In the process of time, we see our circumstances and we become afraid. And we may abandon revelation if we're not careful. We need to be very, very faithful, like one man that I know of. I like to just kind of, when you get all tense, just kind of bring it down a moment. There's two men out in the boat. The boat capsized and they ended up on a little island. One is walking back and forth, just wringing his hands, just worried. And the other one is there with a coconut with a hole in it, just drinking it and laying back and enjoying the sun. He says, aren't you afraid we're going to die? He says, no, I'm a tithe payer. My pastor will find me. We need to be faithful like that. Let's keep going. But preacher, God knows my heart. Anybody ever said that at the other church that you know of? God knows, and to me, that is the most scariest statement that we can make. because God does know our heart. He knows that we're operating off of reasoning and not revelation. Because his word says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, God preserved his word for a very clear revelation, and it will never change nor give in to our reason. God plays, can I say it the way I put it down? God plays by his rules, and he only accepts his plans in his word. He rejects all other reasoning, no matter how wonderful that you think it is. Now, remember I told you that God wants to be your champion provider. And it is his heart to give you his provisions, his protection, and his presence. It is his heart. How many of you are fathers in here? If we can just see God in this role of revelation and reasoning, if we can just see God in the role of a father, it will change your entire outlook, because we have to visualize God as our father. Because in tithing, God examines our heart of obedience to see if his fatherhood rights have been unleashed over our life. Now, in saying that, like I say, I don't write it. I just read it. Our obedience in tithing either robs or restores God of his fatherhood rights. And God derives pleasure. He derives pleasure from imparting to his children the kingdom. Luke 12 and 32 says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom being blessings and royalty. And so therefore, if you can just see him as your father, that is enough to motivate us to allow him to be our father and be obedient to him towards his revelation and abandon our reasoning over his revelation. You must understand that he stands over us desiring to give you good gifts. May I say that again? You must understand that he stands over us desiring to give us his good gifts. And the problem with tithing disobedience is we strip him of his fatherhood rights. Now, I've seen the giver's pledge. I've read it, and I want to say this. I've never seen a church do that before. That pledge is 100% scriptural. It is awesome. It is the greatest thing to proclaim before we celebrate in our offering and our tithe and offering in our missions. It is wonderful, because in this tithing, God is giving us permission to not prove our heart. Listen to this. He's going to prove our heart of obedience, but he's given us permission here in Malachi not to prove our heart, but his heart towards us. You don't see that any other time where he says, prove me. I remember, let me talk to you just for a couple of minutes. Well, I got to hurry. Oh, Lord, I got to hurry. Who'll give me 5 minutes? 10, 15, 20, we're good. Took my grandson to McDonald's. He's just a little fella. And I'm standing there, and I know how much he loves the fries. So I say, go big. So they give him a biggie, and we get to the table, and just a little fella, he's got a big fry. I reach over to get one, and then he's ready to karate chop me. I have a problem with that. Why? I bought them. It was my idea. And not only that, I can take them if I want. I can beat them up. And I'll do it over biggies. But sometimes God derives pleasure and he blesses us. But yet when he blesses us, we throw our arms around it and we protect it. But yet God is trying to say, wait a minute, this was my gift to you. I own this. Let me share in it with you. And ready, when we disobey our Father's heart towards us does not change, but his fatherhood rights do. I ain't nowhere near where I need to be, but I'm going to have to start finding the runway. If I believe with all my heart, Brother Jason, if your neighbor came over and says, where's Fred? I'm going to beat up on him, your little 8-year-old boy. Because there's a ding in my window, and I believe he threw the rock. And Fred would say, Brother Jason would say, Fred, did you throw a rock and hit the car? No, Daddy, you told me to never throw rocks, and I have not thrown rocks at all. He would say, son, get behind me. He would tell that neighbor, I'm fixing to shut this door. You want to get to my boy? You got to go through 2 inches of wood on this door, a lock and a double lock. And then after that, if you get through, you got to get through me. If you get through me, I got 2 friends that are also in the house, Mr. Smith, Mr. Wesson. You got to get through them too. He's going to protect his son because his fatherhood rights are totally intact. His son has obeyed. Now, I know I've experienced the other side of that. When the police knock on the door. Mr. Garraway, where's your son? Well, he's in the house. We're here to get him. Now, I can do like Jason, say, yeah, I'm going to shut the door and I got guns, but I got a problem. What I have to do is I have to open the door because my son would say, Dad, I'm so sorry. You told me to be careful. I made a mistake. And I disobeyed you. My hands are tied. All I can do is let him go out the door and they will lead him away. Now follow. I'm going to try my best to close very quick. My fatherhood rights have been restricted. But my heart never changes. They will usher him away, but my heart is with him. I will always love him. I will always long to be with him. I will always long to sit around the supper table with him. But because of his disobedience, my fatherhood rights have been tied behind my back, my hands. Like I said, I will always love him, but he placed himself under a curse. I can no longer enjoy his presence. He's separated from me. They will take him and do what they will with him. All the days of his absence, I will be longing to embrace that I may give him the fatherhood gives. And the fatherhood love of protection and presence and provisions. But I don't have the fatherhood rights because they're gone. Now, can you see your father? I don't have time to read all this, but it maybe just throw it up on the overheads, but I'm gonna just touch it real quick. Verse 8, Malachi 3. Will a man rob God? You have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, you're cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all your tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me. Prove me now. Says who? I love this. The Lord of hosts. The same Lord that showed up at the gate with the sword. The same Lord that parted the Red Sea. The same Lord that spoke and the stars went into existence. He's the Lord of hosts, is the one that said this. He says, try me, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up to you the windows of heaven. You see, like Brother Lloyd said, you had no guarantee that your IRA is going to make it. You had no guarantee that Social Security is going to hold up until you can draw it. You have no guarantee that the stock market is going to make it. But rest assured, when you untie his hands, he will be Jehovah in your life. He will be not only Jehovah Jireh, he'll be your provider. He will be your Jehovah Nisi. He'll be your presence. He'll be your protection. When you untie his hands, windows of heaven will open, not enough room to receive it. He will rebuke the devourer. I said I'm going to teach this, but I get excited about my God. He is the King of Kings. The fruit of your ground will bear fruit. The vine will prosper in the field. Nations will call you blessed. And who says this? Who gives me that guarantee? The Lord of hosts, the commander chief, the one in charge, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the fairest among thousands, the bride and the morning star, the lily of the valley, the king of the mountain. He's the one that made this promise to me. Oh, I love it. When you talk about the mathematical equation in Malachi and all through the Old and New Testament, a Harvard professor will scratch their head. The banker, the mortgage, the loan officer says, I don't know how it can be done. The stock market analysts, they can't figure it out. Wall Street can't figure it out. They just keep scratching their head. But I serve a God who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and he is the God that can make it happen. Give him a clap offering this morning. He is so worthy. Lord, do we close at 12 or 1? I'm confused. I'm not even going to get to offering and missions. But Malachi brings us this transition. When we are obedient to God, it unleashes his fatherhood rights. We can bring it, we can prove him, and he will rebuke the devourer. The test of tithing, we discover three things. The principal test of tithing is our heart. The purpose is to provide for God's servants. Does he have the right to protect this? This tithe is a sacred trust. God places his tithe into our hands, and he stands back to see what we're going to do with it. He will open the windows of heaven. I only know of two times that the windows of heaven open in Genesis, because of disobedience, the windows of heaven opened and the rain came, 40 days, 40 nights. But in Malachi, through obedience, the windows of heaven opened and God pours out his blessings. May I go to 11:10? Was that one more minute or okay? Let me just cover this very, very quickly. In my best friend Tom, the offering, Matthew 6 and 21, it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We were around the table Monday morning, and I was telling them about the man, of course, down the street of the other church, who complained at the service. The preacher was too long. No, that's at this church here. Singing too loud and just everything. The building was hot. People were unfriendly, complain. And his son says, well, Dad, I saw you put the offering in. And I think you got a pretty good show for a dollar. Makes us think, don't it? God gives us the principle of tithe to examine our heart of obedience. He gives us the principle of offerings to examine our heart for gratitude. Where your treasure is, let's talk that one more time. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Offering, Exodus 25. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they may bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell with them. What's happening here, the children of Israel were holding the riches from Egypt, and they were in a procession, they were marching, and God says, stop! stop right here. We're going to take an offering. We're going to build a place that I may dwell, the temple. So therefore, the offering is not proof of your obedience, but he said, give it willingly. The offering is voluntary, and it is an expression of your thanks. I don't have time to go into it, but in Haggai, the first chapter, and I don't have time to go through that at all. But God asked the children, what's more important, my house or yours? The children had come out for 16 years. They had built the foundation of the temple. And after they built the foundation, kind of got it going, they just stopped and they went. They took care of their own sealed houses. Chandeliers, new paint, whatever it was they did back then. They took care of their house, but they didn't take care of God's house. They were unthankful for what God had done for them. Now, 16 years later, also in the process of time, 16 years, guess who shows up? Yes, the same Lord as in Malachi, the Lord of hosts, the commander in chief. And he says this, consider your ways. And he said, it is shut down time. But he says, if you get it right, we'll move on. Repent, we'll move on, and we'll be all right. Sounds like Cain, don't it? But finally in Haggai 2 and 19, they got it right. They considered their ways, took care of God's house, and God blessed them. Pastor Kevin, I submit myself to you. You have every right to call me into your office after this. And I mean that with a sincere heart. About a year ago, I remember when these speakers were put on the bottom floor because these went out. We've been here about a year and a week now. I'm going to ask you a question. And nobody has said nothing. Nobody's mad at you, the pastor. But I'm going to ask you a question. How long in your home would you go with bad speakers on your TV? Oh, preacher, you better close. Y'all better stand up. I'm going to get in trouble. You see, when his fatherhood rights are restored and we take care of his... Yes, stand up, if you will. If you don't, I'll keep going. Because right now, I don't see any runway lights to land this thing. When we honor him willingly with our offering, his fatherhood rights are restored, and he gives us his presence. I got to read this. God does not tolerate ingratitude, unthankfulness. Do you believe me? 2 Timothy 3 and 1. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Right in the middle, smack dab middle of that, is the word, people will become unthankful. So let's just close this thing right here. God gives us divine instructions. Offering time is a time of celebration. Second Corinthians 9:7. Every man according to as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Hilaros. We get our word hilarious. I mean, you don't have to do it, but everywhere I've been, we tried to teach them, when you hear these words, it's offering time. They would go crazy. They would jump up and down, yeah, and start whistling and praising and clapping their hands. It's offering time. It's an opportunity for us to come to God and unleash his fatherhood rights. It's a celebration. And did you know that I've heard, and I don't know who could do an inventory in your mind, they say, well, it's a fact, probably, more decisions are made at offering time than altar time. Can I just help you a little bit here? The decision for offering is not in this building. It's at home in your prayer closet. It's established in your heart and in your mind and in your heart. It's a done deal. Paul said, now concerning the collection of saints, as I have given order of the churches of Galatia, even so you do on the first day of the week, let every one of you come and lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And I'm so thankful, and I'm closing with this verse, I promise you. I'm so thankful for God's grace. Maybe we've reasoned in our heart because of fear and worry over finances or making ends meet or milk and eggs going to $7 and $8 a gallon. Maybe we've reasoned in our heart against revelation. But let me tell you about the God that I serve. Let me tell you about the God that I serve. He'll meet you right there at your need. He says, for if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted to that a man hath, not according to what he hath not. In other words, God is saying, has the enemy talked you out of revelation? Have you reasoned against the word of God? He, just like Cain and just like in the book of Haggai. He's saying, come unto me. He gives us a fresh, clean start. And I believe today, this morning, that maybe some of us need to come before the Lord. It's only between you and God. And say, Heavenly Father, I've reasoned. And I need to go back to revelation. And I need to unleash your fatherhood rights over my life. If that's you this morning, God will do it.
Hey everyone, Pastor Kevin here, and I'm so excited that you came to worship with us today. My prayer is that something in this service, whether through worship or the word, changed you and gave you hope for the week. If you'd like to share that opportunity with us or whatever's happened in your life, there's a QR code that's going to appear on the screen. Just scan that code and it'll take you to our Connect card. We'll connect with you and you have chances to leave all kind of notes or prayer requests that we can gather together and pray with you about throughout the week. Thank you again so much for worshiping with us. We hope you have a great day.